Order. Questions to the Secretary of State for Culture, Olympics, Media and Sport. Mr. Stephen Timms.
Question one, Mr. Speaker.
Secretary of State. Mr. Speaker, our aim is to ensure that we have as competitive a market for broadband as possible, and that's why together with Ofcom we've taken a number of steps to ensure that the UK broadband market is one of the most vibrant and competitive in the world, including opening up BT's ducts and poles to competitors, and introducing new guidance on street works and micro-trenching.
Stephen Timms.
So why, Mr. Speaker, is the government, through the ill-judged Broadband UK exercise, recreating a taxpayer-funded monopoly for superfast broadband? Will he confirm the number of firms on his framework has fallen now from 3 to 2, that all the deals so far have been with one of those companies that stands to make to receive over £1.5 billion? Is it any wonder the European Commission is challenging the legality of what he's doing and that Britain is lagging so badly behind on superfast broadband?
Well, let me tell the Honourable Member directly. When his party left office, we had one of the slowest broadband networks in Europe. We have put in place plans that will give us one of the fastest broadband networks in Europe. His party had plans that wouldn't have seen the rollout of superfast broadband until 2017. We have brought that forward. And we've also put in nearly £1 billion of public money. So I think our results have been pretty impressive.
Mr. James Gray.
Speaker, Wiltshire is one of the pilot areas for the rollout of superfast broadband in England. Would the Secretary tell me whether or not increasing competition amongst broadband providers would hasten perhaps the arrival of that pilot? There has been some delay, I think, in it, despite the excellent efforts of the outstandingly good Conservative-controlled Wiltshire County Council. Nonetheless, there have been some central delays, and I just want to know what the Secretary can do to assist that.
Well, we are doing everything we can to reduce those delays, including seeking an early clearance of state aid issues from Brussels. But what we've set in place is a competitive process that is led by local authorities, because we think the way that we will get the best results is by putting local authorities in the driving seat. And that is why we've had a tremendous response, including local authorities in virtually every case agreeing to match the money being put in by central government, so that in Wiltshire and all over the country, we will have an extremely good broadband network, if not the best in Europe.
And Haynes.
I welcome that response. I hope the Secretary of State understands the eagerness in Wiltshire, South Gloucestershire and Swindon to be able to proceed with their framework. I wonder if there's anything he can tell us about the timetable for reaching this resolution on the state aid issue with the European Commission.
Well, I'm hoping to have a meeting with Commissioner Almunia next week, or certainly in the next few weeks, in order to hasten that process as fast as possible. And we are still very much hoping that all local authorities will have signed their contracts by the end of this calendar year, in order that the actual digging of trenches, laying of fibre along poles, can actually happen from the beginning of next year.
David T.C. Davis.
Question two, Mr. Speaker.
With your permission, Mr. Speaker, I would like to group this question with questions 6, 7 and 13. I have now approved 37 out of 43 local broadband plans. That's nearly 90% across the whole country, and 9 are in procurement. A number of these are almost ready to begin delivery. The other projects are preparing for procurement with support from BD UK, which is also finalising details for the broadband delivery framework contract.
David T.C. Davis.
Mr. Speaker, may I congratulate the Minister for the progress he's making on superfast broadband, but ask that this not be done at the expense of those living in remote rural areas such as parts of Monmouthshire, who have yet to see any form of broadband whatsoever.
Well, my honourable friend is absolutely right, and the whole purpose of this programme is to make sure that we have fast broadband speeds available to everyone. Indeed, it's people in the most remote areas that stand to gain the most in terms of preventing villages from being depopulated, helping people who are disabled to get their shopping done online. There are all sorts of very important benefits, and I hope that the £57 million that we have allocated to Wales, that has been more than matched by the Welsh Government, will make that happen in Monmouthshire and throughout Wales.
Eric Ola Renshaw.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if the Minister could clarify that when community-led schemes to bring superfast broadband to remote rural areas, such as Broadband for the Rural North in my constituency, initially raise their own funds, will not then be discriminated in access to future government support?
Well, we are specifically trying to set up a scheme that makes it possible where people raise their own funds. to solve broadband problems, for that to be integrated into the national network. So our objective is to make as much local self-help work as possible. And so I welcome his initiative and those taken by his constituents.
Howell.
Large parts of my constituency suffer from rural broadband poverty. But at an official level, that's often masked because neighbouring Oxford has a good broadband and the level at which it's integrated is too great to show that granularity. So what advice can you give about making sure that those areas of rural broadband poverty in my constituency are recognised?
Well, the comfort I can give him is that the ambition, which is vastly higher than anything that we had from the party opposite, is that by 2015, 90% of the country will have access to superfast broadband, but that it won't stop there, and that we will have a plan in place for the other 10%, which means that they have a very good prospect of getting superfast broadband. And in many cases, for example, in my own county of Surrey, they are putting forward plans where there will be 100% access to superfast broadband by 2015. So I think good local authorities are thinking about that 10% and making sure that they are not left behind, and we're doing everything we can to help them.
Andrea Leadsom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my own constituency, we have lots of rural areas that are not going to be part of the superfast broadband rollout. In particular, there's one area, in fact, where I happen to live, where there's a large community of parishes where two-thirds of people are actually home workers or small businesses. And so what reassurance can he give me that we will be able to achieve access to the existing national infrastructure of fibre optic cabling to avoid having to reinstall new cables? Certainly in this particular area, there's a rural grouping that are trying to gain access to existing infrastructure and being denied that by private companies.
Okay.
Well, I think the best reassurance probably for the people who live around her is the fact that she herself lives there, and that will, I'm sure, mean that, that it receives a lot of attention. But the point I really want to make to her is that people in areas, in remote areas, that do not have access to good broadband are top of our minds, and we are very determined to put in place a structure that makes sure that even if they are not in the 90% that is covered by 2015, they will either be covered very soon afterwards, or we will have a structure that allows them to be covered within that framework.
Nigel Dodds.
Developing the best possible communications network is one of the key priorities for Belfast City Council and the local administration in Northern Ireland, and great progress has been made, but can I urge the Secretary of State to give support to Belfast's bid for greater funding for superfast broadband, because it's an excellent way of attracting greater economic growth and foreign direct investment, which we need.
Well, first of all, I should congratulate the Honourable Member, because Northern Ireland has some of the best broadband in Europe already, and he is absolutely right. And one of the other big differences between this government's policies and that of the last government is that we are not just stopping at having superfast broadband for the whole country, but we actually want our cities to have some of the best broadband in the world and to aspire to the speeds that you can find in Singapore, in Seoul and other cities, and I hope Belfast will be amongst them.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the 2 years since this government took office, it has not delivered 1 metre of extra fibre or one bit of extra bandwidth. BDUK is still sorting out its super fragmented contracting process. But up and down the country, hundreds and thousands of people are denied decent broadband because the government abandoned our universal broadband pledge. So does the Secretary of State deny that under Labour, everyone would have had access to decent broadband this year to play their part in the innovation economy?
Well, let me remind the Honourable Lady that when her party left office, there was no money left. And quite how she thought that she was going to deliver universal access to broadband by 2012, when they left the country's finances bust, I do not know. What we did was we took a plan that was clearly not going to work, and we have put in place a plan which has much, much higher ambitions, not only universal access to broadband, but 90% access to superfast broadband, and cities with ultra-fast broadband, some of the fastest broadband in the world.
world.
Mr. John Whittingdale.
Does the Secretary of State agree that one of the alternative ways of making available faster broadband is through the rollout of 4G mobile services? However, has he seen the analysis by Freeview, which suggests the number of homes who may have their digital television service interfered with could be over 2 million, and that the funds secured by the government to counter that interference may not be anything like sufficient? Does he agree with that analysis, and what is he proposing to do about it?
Well, on the first point, I absolutely agree with my honourable friend that the rollout of 4G is another opportunity, and one of the options proposed by Ofcom would mean 98% coverage of 4G, which would be extremely important in many of the rural areas that honourable friends are concerned about. We have got a consultation going on at the moment about the mitigation plans for peoples whose signals will be affected by those auctions. I have not been told by Ofcom that they have any concerns about the plans in place, but I will listen to them very carefully indeed.
Mr. Speaker.